Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today we have an interesting guest, Kate Cho out of Houston, Texas, who is someone who started trying to do real estate on her own and basically did it the way I think all of her counterparts or friends or relatives would do it. It's rather what I've seen to be a cultural approach to doing real estate, which is completely and diametrically opposed to the way we do it here at Lifestyles. But she got started that way. And then later on, after some time, she decided to look into our possible ways of doing it. And so we want to hear her story. It's a good story of, you know, the inside and the outside look of what someone trying real estate for the first time really thinks. So welcome to the show, Kate.
Hi, good morning, Del. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on. So let's start. Tell us a little bit about Kate. You know, where are you from? How'd you get started? What do you do? You know, the whole little backstory about who you are.
Okay. Yes, I was born and raised in China, and I moved to Thailand when I was 20 for college. So lived in Thailand for 8 years, and after that I traveled for work for a few years, and then I moved to the U.S. After I moved here, I started working as an accounting professional, and in 2017... Basically, back in 2015, a friend of mine, she started a real estate investment in single family, and she bought 10 houses. So I have been to some of her rental properties while she was doing renovations, and it seems like she got everything handled very well. So she had the momentum, and she was very successful. So she was my role model, and that's why I started saving money. And I started investing back in 2017. So I bought my two single family rental homes between 17 and 18, I believe. And then it was very hard to learn on my own. I wasn't as successful as my friend, even though I do ask her for, you know, her experience, her resources. But however, it was very challenging to me. Yeah, and that's when I found out Lifestyles back in 2019, and I determined that this is where I want to join because everything y'all said is very different than what I've learned. So that's when I decided that I want to join Lifestyles. I want to learn from the successful story and experiences.
Well, that's quite a story, and you've just spread the whole story out over 5 minutes. So we're going to spread it out a little bit here.
Sure.
Let's start way back at the beginning. I hope you don't mind me asking some of these questions that I don't know, and it's always been curious. For 35 years, I've been consulting people. So my first question is really basic. When you come out of China as a Chinese citizen, do they let you take your money with you?
No, there is a limit. So per person, every year, you can only wire $50,000 to overseas.
So it becomes a process of over time you can get it out? Is that what
I'm
hearing?
Honestly, I'm from a very humble background. My family, none of my family members are rich. My dad wasn't rich, so he had enough money to send me to Thailand for college, and I was very grateful of that. So after that, I moved to the U.S. I started working here, so I saved all the money myself.
Great. So did you become a citizen, or were you just Chinese being a student visa?
No, so I came here on a green card. So me and my ex-husband, we moved here together with an immigration visa.
Okay. So you went to work as an accountant. That's a good job. I'm sure you make good money being an accountant. And then you started doing it. So my next question, I hope you can explain this to me. Why is it that a very high percentage, when I first meet them and start working with them, of Chinese descendant people want to pay cash for everything? Why are they so driven towards paying cash and totally hate the idea of putting a mortgage on something?
That's a really good question, Dale. Okay, so I think that has a lot to do with the culture that we were raised. So credit card wasn't a thing, or mortgage wasn't a thing back in the day. I think it wasn't until early 2000. So I didn't have a credit card until I was probably close to 30. And that was already 2008, 2009, 2010. So, but whenever I use credit card, you know, I just feel like, okay, the interest rate is ridiculous. And, you know, I'd rather just use cash because I want to avoid any fees, any interest that I pay for. But in the U.S. now, I start using credit card, but I pay it off monthly because I want to take advantage of the, you know, credit score, build up my credit score, and having the points accumulate extra points. But however, in China, people really had the culture and the habit that you save money for everything. Even buy a house, people would save their entire life and then buy a house in the end of, you know, their life. So that just become a culture. People don't like that, and people don't think that the debt is good for you. But that whole mentality has changed after I came here or after I joined Lifestyles.
So in that same vein, I remember so many times in 35 years of consulting people, sitting in a room with maybe four or five Chinese ladies, and it's always a bunch of Chinese ladies. I don't know why they got all the money or they're making all the moves, but they are. And they're sitting there telling me, yes, I bought this condo for $350,000. I paid cash for it. And then they've just come out of a seminar where I showed them you could take $25,000, buy a house, make a $50,000 gain on instant captured equity, have $200 or $300 or $400 a month positive cash flow, and you're making 15-20% return plus 100% on the capital gain. And I show them on the $350,000 condo, they're only making 5% return by the time, you know, they get all the money in or whatever. It's a very low return. There's no leverage. Is that something you understand now? Did that get through at all?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, absolutely. So with what I'm doing now, so I can leverage using hard money, convert to conventional loan, and I put in 20, 30, 40K, and then I own a house. And I, you know, I can leverage after a few years. With the cash flow, with the equity gain, I basically can double my money. But if I buy a house with cash, I'm going to have to save a long time to be able to buy a house with cash. But with leverage, I could do it now, or I could do a couple in a year.
Mm-hmm. Okay, right. So you do understand the difference then. We've only got a minute left in this segment, so I'm going to ask you the funny question now. Not implying that you only have Chinese friends, but I assume you have some Chinese friends. When you tell them about this, what do they think when you tell them you're doing all this leverage?
It depends on who I tell. Some people still think that, oh, I don't like that. I like to make it easy. So my money is sitting in the bank. It's doing nothing. But if I buy a house, I take advantage of both the cash flow and equity gains. So it's okay with them. But some people may want to try what I do. But I think, you know, maybe for some people it's too risky. Right.
See, I just wanted to see if I wanted to make you my secret emissary. To communicate that which I can't communicate, because some things just doesn't communicate unless you have, you know, some cultural connection to understand it.
Well, I have to say this is a mentality. This is not like I have any secret to communicate to anybody. It's the mentality. Even myself, I have to force myself to think outside the box, and it's hard.
Let's talk, I guess, Kate, when you first took the two-day seminar, lots of information, I know that, and especially stuff that went somewhat diametrically opposed to what you thought as a younger lady doing this stuff. What first caught your attention? What kind of aha moments did you have to say, this is going to change everything for me?
The Actually, the aha moments I've had was first started with the case studies. And that's when I determined, okay, I'm ready to join, but I need to save more money. So during that time, I tried to, still study more knowledge in real estate investment. But I guess, when I joined the 2 days seminar, I feel like, okay, when I studied, I was pulling information all over the place, but none of them were like, in a sequence of tell you step-by-step type of examples or models. But in the 2 days, David Fisher has made it very simple to understand and very clear how step-by-step of, looking for a deal, fixing up, looking for tenants, and managing the deal. So it looks everything is so easy and simple compared to what I have done before I joined Lifestyles.
Okay, so you like the organization of the ideas. That's another problem, though, when you go out there, and I'm just going to add to what you said. This is saying you're right. When you go and get information from all over the places, sometimes the information contradicts each other, which makes it even more confusing. And sometimes, or most times, it's not in any practical, usable format that you can just take it step by step and do something with it. So those are good points. Let's talk about now you're sitting in a room day one, day two. One day they're talking about single family housing. The next day they're talking about multifamily housing. All you'd ever really looked at before was single family housing, I believe. What did it mean to you to start hearing people say, hey, people just like you were buying apartments?
That was fascinating. And that was very exciting as well. You know, people just, they all have similar background as me. They were professionals working a W-2 job, and they were able to replace their income with apartment deals. And that's done with a group of people's efforts, because it's harder for one person to save a few million dollars to go buy an apartment. But with a group of people with similar mindsets and with the same goal, and we can achieve that.
So that was interesting to you. Now, I'm going to bring in another concept here, and that is you're an accountant, right?
Correct.
When you started hearing all this stuff, were you surprised that even being an accountant, there was some stuff financially in there that was might not have been known to you, or not? Did you understand? Did you know it all? First of all, not did you understand it, but did you know it all?
No, I didn't.
Because people ask me all the time, why does my CPA not know what you're telling me to do? I go, because it's kind of a specialty thing. Not all CPAs work on, real estate accounting type deal.
Absolutely, yeah.
So were you surprised on the tax benefits when you set it up that way?
I'm not a tax accountant. So, I do my own taxes, but I don't really deal with anybody else's finances or taxes.
But you do use depreciation, right?
Oh, yeah, of course, yes. So from my own experience, the gain or the cash flow every year I get from real estate that I offset with my other investments, depreciations, so I didn't have to pay taxes on my real estate portion of the income.
And to make that more powerful, you have to use leverage, because if you pay cash, you've got all this extra cash, but no deductions, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Now it clicks. Yes.
Absolutely. And so the two are tied together in that essence. If you don't have depreciation and debt, then you have way too much cash flow to cover it all with your depreciation, and hence you end up paying taxes anyway. So it's a good thing. Also, you don't pay Social Security or Medicare on this income, because it's not earned income. It's investment income. So that's additional benefit, compared to setting up your own business of some type where you have to pay that. So those are all good things. So when did you decide you were going to try before I ask that question, let's go back to when you came out of the two-day. What did you want to do differently right away? What caught your attention, said, I'm going to change this right away?
The education. So I immediately jumped on the education on the portal. The each section, it gives you like locating a deal, from evaluating the deal, and then from closing the deal, from repair, and then looking for tenants and all that. So there's a detailed step-by-step and step-by-step video trainings, and there's also documentations in each section that I can use. So immediately the single family investment become interesting, and I demonstrated my knowledge very professionally. So compared to the tenants before I found, I had to evict the very first tenants. Now when I look for tenants, I know exactly what I'm looking for, and I place good tenants in my house and never had to deal with evictions.
Wow, that's quite an improvement.
That's a huge improvement.
Because I think if you don't understand that, then real estate can be a real nightmare.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's why some people feel discouraged, and then myself too. Before I joined Lifestyle, I felt discouraged.
I understand why. So yeah. Let's talk about how many houses did you do that first year once you joined up here?
The first year, I focused on multifamily. So I joined, I invested in two multifamilies. The next year, I bought a single family. I think I bought two in that year. And then I just bought another single family last year.
And what attracted you to the multifamily?
So with multifamily investments, that's my ultimate goal, is to have enough passive income to replace my income or to support my cost of living. And then I want to quit my W-2 job.
Okay. Well, now that the deals have started getting good again, are you looking for more deals now in the multifamily region?
Well, if there are good deals, I will look into it. I think it looks like the economy is a little rough right now. So, but that's good that I get to go to the road trips. I get to talk to people who are seeing the market firsthand. So that helps me to decide and determine where I want to go with the multifamily and single family investment.
All right. When we come back, I'm going to talk to you about contrarian theory. That's something that I want to see if you picked up on at all, because it sounds like you maybe haven't. We'll take a short break. Be right back with Kate Chow and the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Teaching you with a roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Walmsley Radio Show returns in moments. Lifestyles Unlimited team of real estate investing mentors and educators want to meet you. Learn to retire in 5 years or less. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited. You're hearing the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. With me here today is Kate. And Kate, I want you to pronounce your last name for me, because it's Q-I-U, but I was told you say it more like Cho than Q. How do you pronounce it?
Yes. So in Chinese, the Q don't pronounce the same as English. Uh-huh. So actually, it sounds like a CH or TS. So Qiu is my last name. It's how I pronounce it in Chinese.
Qiu. Well, you're very good at it.
A little bit.
All right. So let's move on. Let's talk about something called the contrarian theory. The contrarian theory is the concept that when the market is going up, 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 and everybody's happy about it, you should probably be selling. And when the market is going down, 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 you should probably be buying. I'm a contrarian theorist. And right now the market is 30 to 40% lower than it was 2 years ago. So people that were buying stuff 2 or 3 years ago, in my mind, were paying too much. And now the market's down 30 to 40%. So I'm like a kid in a candy shop. I'm able to buy all the stuff they were paying so much for and buy it for 30 to 40% less. that's putting me in a situation right now where I've got lots of people sending me deals, and I'm yesing a lot more deals than I used to. How do you see that? Do you have the understanding of the contrarian theory, or are you just totally I wait for it to go up kind of person?
Well, So this is one of the mindset that I learned also. It's like a stock market. If you look back, you're thinking, majority of people will buy when the market goes up because everyone was hoping it's going to go higher. And when it goes down, most people are selling, but that's panic selling. So this is the mentality that I have to learn. Because like Lee Merle said, the one time she said, you're never going to buy on the bottom, but you buy when the market goes down, on the way down. So I think that's the mentality that I have learned. When it goes down, I see the opportunities coming. And when it goes up, I think it's time to cash out and then to just sit there and wait for the right deal to come around.
Okay, so you do have the understanding of the theory. That's good. Let's talk about, when you were looking for multifamily deals, what were you looking for? Did you look primarily to the lead investor because you thought that was more important, or did you look more to the deal itself and how it was structured and what it looked like? How did you pick which deals you wanted to go into?
That's a good question. Also, in the beginning, I didn't really know I have to say in the beginning, there are important things to me are numbers. So I will look at the analysis, how the MFQA present to me, and if that matches to my investment goals, I would invest. But now I'm in the deal for longer, I started to understand it more. So I would look both the leads, how they manage the deal, what's their past experience, and also the numbers. So I will look at those.
Okay. So you went from a numbers person to an understanding that somebody has to operate those numbers. So they're both important. There's no doubt. That's good. So when you looked at these deals, did you take into consideration diversification in any way? Did you think, okay, I don't want all my stuff in one city, or I don't want all my stuff in one state? I want some of the stuff yield play, some of the stuff value play, some of the stuff with brand new leads, some of the stuff with old established leads. Did you have any diversification thoughts when you were putting together your portfolio and still today?
That's a good point. Since today, out of all the multifamily deals I've invested, I haven't thought about diversity. And my focus is just one goal is to have equity captures and to be able to achieve the FIRE retirement, the financial independence early retirement goal. So mostly I will look for a deal. I don't care what city, but I care for if that's going to help me to double my investments, you know, in the next 5, 7 or whatever years. So that's my main goal.
Okay. So you mostly went for value plays then?
Correct.
So the thing about value plays is that you're not really getting a lot of cash flow, hardly at all. You either hit it hard and make a lot of money, or you don't. It's kind of one or the other kind of a deal. So that's one of those things that if you're thinking that way, because I'm going to ask you, there's a question coming out of all this babble, believe it or not. So some people try to get to that where they can retire point by building up cash flow. Some people try to get to that point by building up equity to where they have X number of dollars they think they can live on. Which one are you working on?
Well, actually, I'm working on both. So first, as I'm trying to accumulate enough equity, and when I have more equity, I'm going to invest it in more yield play, so that way I can generate the cash flow.
Okay.
So to me, at this point, I want to build more equity. But maybe in the next 5 years, I'm going to start building cash flow.
How do you now feel about the difference between single family and multifamily? Which one do you like better and why?
So the single families, after I joined Lifestyles, the single family has been treating me well. The one that I sold, I have made over 100% return in a year and a half. The multifamily One of them were sold after 3.5 years and also 100% return. They both are treating me very well, but I do like the multifamily that I don't have to do anything other than just seeing, okay, there's a deposit in my bank account. So let me see, what is it? So that's nice.
I always complain, you know, what a rich person's problem is figuring out which deposit is from which deal. You look on your bank account, and
right.
Hey, there's money there. Where did this one come from? Now, that's a
exactly.
rich person's problem, right?
Right. Oh, that's a good problem to have. Versus a single family, I have more control of it. But I also have to deal with tenants, repair, you know, all that type of things. So that's my diversification right there, I guess.
Well, it is, actually. That is quite a bit of diversification. That works out well. So the next thing I'm going to ask you about is the social ramification of Lifestyles Unlimited. For 35 years, I've been consulting people. What always interests me is people come back to me and go, man, I can't believe how friendly people are and how open they are about their finances at Lifestyle. Did you find that when you first came in?
Yeah, absolutely. It's just people with Lifestyles or the members that I've met in Lifestyles, they all are very open to share and very friendly and very eager to help. So it's just hearing like people's stories. It's very inspiring. And if I have any questions, I can call anybody, including the mentors, including people who I think they have experience, and they're always open to share, and there is nothing that they feel, okay, this question is too personal. You know, which is very amazing that I don't find that very often.
Yeah, most businesses or business people won't share their insider information with you at all. That's just not something that happens openly that we do. One level higher than that, one step higher than that is a lot of people find once they come to Lifestyles that their interest shifts so much towards producing income in retirement that they end up accumulating friends from Lifestyles. Have you accumulated any friends that are just because you guys are all on the same page?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I feel like it is really a good place to meet people who have a similar mindset and similar goals. And then at the same time that you really bond and build that genuine friendship, not only you have fun together, but also you support each other to achieve your financial independence goals.
So at this point, Kate, tell us what your plans are, your goals for the future here.
My goals for the future is I would like to retire in 5 years. And meanwhile, I'm working my W-2 job and keep investing in both multifamily and single family. And I do see another opportunity in real estate is coming. Maybe it's a rough ride for a while, but eventually we'll go back to where we always have been. Like every economy depression or crisis or whatever it is going to be. But hopefully I can catch this wave and achieve my financial independence, early retirement goals in 5 years.
Do you have any kids?
No.
No kids? Okay. Did you pick up a second husband or are you still single?
I'm still single and I'm happily single.
Okay. Happily single. So yeah. What about friends? Do you have any friends that you've brought into Lifestyles? Do your friends ever ask you what you're doing?
So I had one friend that I referred to her. She's also, you know, she's independent and she was looking to invest in real estate. And it was very easy that, you know, I told her the story and she's like, I'm joining. But other friends mostly were not on the same page in life. You know, they have other priorities. So that's why they're not too interested. But whenever I see people with telling me they're interested in investing in single family, I tell them my story and I give them the Lifestyles information. So we'll see. Maybe they will join, and I hope they do.
Well, it sounds like you got a good long-term plan here. What do you do for fun?
Oh, I have so many hobbies. So I'm very, I love sports, and which I do bike riding, I do hiking, lots of, outdoor activities. I love music. I love dancing. I like traveling. I like to try new things.
That's great. What kind of dancing do you do?
Oh, all kind. So I learned salsa. I learned the salsa, the Latin dance. I like country dancing, or I like ballroom dancing. My goal is to one day I want to perform salsa or Latin dance on the stage.
Wow, that's quite a goal. I had an ex-girlfriend that she was a competitive dancer. And so I couldn't dance at all. She made me take lessons for 2 years just so she could dance.
How did that go?
Yeah, it worked out pretty well. Actually, at first I hated it. And then after I learned how to do it, then I really liked it. It's fun.
Really? What kind of dancing did you do?
We did, first of all, West Coast Swing, and which is similar the swing, but it's West Coast Swing. Yeah. Very sexy dance. Then we did salsa, and we did country western. And, it's really fun when you can just get up anywhere in any bar or dance hall and get up and start dancing. And people
Absolutely.
Can do the same thing you can do. And, that's really an exciting thing. It really adds quality to the life to have something you can do, It's
fun. Absolutely. Absolutely. And, one of the studies says that if you speak more than one language, like multi-languages, and if you can dance, that would delay if anybody has potential of dementia or Alzheimer, that would delay that.
Yeah, I'm still working on English myself. I'm still working on English.
Maybe you should get back to dancing.
it's amazing to me, though, people that have multi-languages, because it seems like the people that learn two or more languages, it gets easier for them, and then they learn a lot. Like, we hang out with a bunch of Europeans, and Europeans all speak English and Spanish. And, some kind of European language like Russian, as a third language or whatever.
French and German and Dutch.
Right, French and German.
Yeah, I've met people that they grew up speaking 5-6 languages. So learning another language is very easy for them.
Yep, not me, but I actually thought that's really neat, too. I've always thought, I was very impressed by people that could do that. Well, it sounds like you've got yourself really put together. You've got fun. You've got money. It's not just the money. It's the lifestyle. It's the excitement. You get the friends. It sounds like it's all well put together, and it's only going to take you a couple more years of working, and you get it all out of your way. Then what are you going to do? If you don't have a job anymore, what would you do with yourself all day long?
So this is a very interesting question that the people will always ask me, but actually I do have a plan for my life. So I have So I would love to go see the part of the world that I have not seen yet, but now I'm only able to do it, a couple weeks at a time. So when I'm retired, I would love to move to another country. I would like to live there for 3-4 months, really enjoy the culture, enjoy the scenery, enjoy the people, make new friends, see different perspectives. I would like to do the things that I'm passionate about, but not for money. And I would also like to, to focus on more of my hobbies, like dancing, skiing, scuba diving. And then eventually I want to move to Thailand to build my retirement community.
Wow. You do all those things? You scuba dive also?
Yes.
Wow, you got to get in with our group. We got almost everybody in our group skis, and they scuba dive, and they dance.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, absolutely. You got to invite me then.
Yeah, well, we're going to have to get you on that invite list. That's fun. All right, well, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your story with us. And I look forward to seeing you in the Lifestyles meetings here in Houston. You are in Houston, so you're right here where I'm at. So we
I
look
am
forward
in
to
Houston.
Seeing you.
I'm going to the multifamily road trip tomorrow.
Oh, are you? Oh, great. Excellent.
yeah.
Well, let's make sure that you keep on your goal and get there within the 5 years or less if you can. And for the rest of you out there, remember this. It's not just money. It's the quality of life. It sounds like Kate has got it down. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.